It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Here we go, Las Vegas. It is just afternoon on this Monday, December the 9th, 2024. Welcome to Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas, the flagship station of the Vegas Golden Knights radio network, and of course, all along the Vegas Golden Knights social media channels, wherever you are. Thank you for joining us here today. I'm Dan Duva with Gary Lawless as we join you from Studio 1 here at our City National Arena facility in downtown Summerlin. Gary, it is December. The Knights have had quite a run. And by the way, before we get to talk about anything, our guest on the program today will be Noah Hanifin. We'll ask him all about the Golden Knights, ask him about getting named to Team USA, and he's going to be joining us any moment from what we are told. So stand by for Noah Hanifin.
Noah, this was a funny little story, Dan. The other day, you know, his nickname is Hanny.
Right.
And so somehow I mixed Noah and Hanny, and I called him Noe by accident.
Sounds like a child's, like, stuffed teddy bear or
Jack
something.
Jack Eichel was right there. He's like, oh, that's so cute. Noe, he kept saying, and Noah thought it was quite funny.
Is it going to catch on? Is everybody going to call him
so. And I apologized to Noah, and he just kind of looked at Jack, rolled his eyes, and laughed. So those guys, they love one another, and they have some fun with each other. So it's that's good stuff.
What's your favorite and least favorite nickname?
For me? I kind of like all my nicknames.
You do? Oh, that's good. It's better than the opposite.
I'll tell you what I don't like.
Yeah?
I don't like it when a friend of mine, someone who I consider a friend, calls me by my last name. They call me Lawless. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like, you know, you got a lot of choices. There's Lawman, Lolly, Teddy, Ted, Lou, like, you know, Bear.
And most people have no idea where they came
from.
Well,
it's really fun for me. And actually, Gordon and Garrett get a kick out of it.
From the Golden Knights communication staff.
When we go different places and
right.
walk
yeah.
into a room, and someone will, like, you know, someone will be like, hey, Lolly. They're like, right away, their ears perk up because the Lolly stories that they've heard, they get a kick out of those. That's when I was younger, a little wilder.
Right, so there's
perhaps.
The Lolly stories,
yes.
there's the Lawman stories,
yes.
there's the Lou stories. It's
yes.
like different periods,
yes.
the
yes.
different eras of Gary Lawless.
And they've never heard anyone call me Bear. Like, you got to go back.
There's, yeah, I don't like, know that I've heard
no,
that.
No, but like recently I had, and my daughter gets a kick out of all this too, because I recently had a couple guys that I played high school football with came to town, and we all got to dinner. And when I arrived at dinner, they're like, Bear! And giving
wow.
me hugs, and she's looking at me, and
wow.
she's like, who's Bear? You know? So that's way too much time spent on nicknames. But
well, there you go. Well, nicknames are, especially in the world of hockey, just integral
well,
to the fabric of the sport. Noah will be with us momentarily. He's on his way up.
I have a friend who whenever he sees a coach referring to a player and the nickname is, you know, guy's last name plus a Y or
an ER.
Yeah, my buddy just thinks that's the most ridiculous thing. Like, be a little more creative.
Be more inventive. Right. Like, yeah, nicknames yes. are not what they yes. once were.
No. Like Wild Bill. What?
That's a good one. Yeah.
That's a good one.
For
right?
sure.
Yeah.
Yes. There's the great comedy Dragnet. Not
yes.
the TV show.
Yeah.
I'm talking the comedy film. Dan Aykroyd, Tom Hanks.
Yes.
And Tom Hanks is the younger detective. And, of course, Dan Aykroyd always calls him Strebeck. And Tom Hanks calls Dan Aykroyd Friday. But at one point, Tom Hanks says to Dan Aykroyd, friendships start with first names. Mm. And I've always remembered that.
Well, exactly. That's why I don't like being called Lawless.
Yeah, Tom Hanks. Pep Strebeck said it.
Yeah. Now, it's funny. One time, someone who watches the Golden Knights games, and they, you know, they've seen Lawless in order.
Yeah.
I bumped into them at a grocery store or wherever it was. I don't know where it was, but somewhere out in public. I do go out in public from time to time.
Without the paparazzi?
Yes. They said to me, hey, Lawless. And I was kind of like, I think that someone's trying to break in here.
Come on in, Noah. The water's fine. We're talking about nicknames. Go ahead, Gary. Please continue.
Well, we'll pick this up later. I have to apologize to Noah for you got to put that on, Noah.
We're live on the radio, just in case you're wondering. Yes. Thanks for coming by. How are you?
Doing well, you?
Great. Well, we were just talking about nicknames. We asked Gary about his favorite and least favorite nicknames because apparently Gary invented a nickname for you recently.
Oh, yeah?
When I mixed Noah.
Oh, that and, one. Yeah, and that was tough.
Together and did that go away fast?
It did, luckily. Oh, good. Yeah. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been too happy.
Well, I just mentioned it on the radio, so it might come back.
Yeah, we were worried it might stick.
Oh, man. Thank gosh I didn't.
Yeah. Well, do you have a favorite nickname?
No, I think guys call me Hanny. That's what I've always been
been Hanny, right?
It's just simple, easy.
Yeah, I've been Doves forever. Like, my email address from, like, AOL days in the 90s was, like, Dan Doves. And it's always stuck. Doves. Nice. It's still there. I still use the same email address.
Well, you can have a new nickname. You can have Noah Hanifin, Team USA.
Oh, thanks,
congratulations.
Gary. Yeah, appreciate it. Appreciate it, man.
We were Dan was, unbeknownst to you, I was doing a lot of back channeling. We knew Jack was on.
Yeah.
We knew Carly was going to make Sweden. Pretty sure the four guys that made Canada were going to make Canada. Stone, Petrangelo, Hill, and Theodore. And you were the one guy that I thought should be on. Mm-hmm. But you were getting a lot of buzz from other places. Mm-hmm. And I forget where we were. No, I don't. We were in Seattle. And Chris Kelleher, who is same high school as you, he told me.
Sebastian's.
Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he came, so Chris and I go way back, friends for a long time. He came to Seattle, and I'm like, who are you watching here? And he said, oh, I'm on Team USA business. I said, who are you watching here? And he said, we're watching Noah Hanifin. And I said, well, where is he? And he goes, he's in the mix. Mm-hmm. And then we were in Toronto, and Bill Guerin was there.
All right, now we're talking.
Chris has a pretty big voice.
Well, I mean, you know, when you have two sources, so to speak, you've got really a sense of things.
Gosher and Knighty know Bill quite well. So I didn't get to talk to him live and in person there.
Yeah.
So I texted him the next day. I said, hey, I wanted to say hi, but Dave and Shane were monopolizing your time.
Right.
Yeah. Where's Noah? And he said, he's a rising stock at that point in time. And I was pretty sure you were going to make it then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Noah, how much of that did you know?
Not too much of it. You know, I think for me, it's one of those things you obviously want to be a part of it. It's a privilege. Anytime you get to represent your country, it's great. But for me, it's, you know, there's so many great players that are deserving to go, and you know somebody's going to be left off. You know, forwards, defensemen, goalies that, you know, could easily make the team. So for me, it was just about, you know, just trying to get my game going and play well. And if I got added to the team, that'd be great. And obviously super excited. Even with the team, there's so many guys that I've played with in the past and, you know, grew up with a lot of guys around my age. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. How do you find out?
I actually got a call from Bill Guerin. Yeah, he called me and gave me the news and, obviously really exciting. So.
Yeah. Did you know him well?
I don't. I met him, I think, once maybe before. Know a lot of the same people, though, but
right,
I know he's a Mass guy as well. But
exactly. Yeah.
I don't really know him personally too well.
He's a great guy. Great New Jersey Devil back in the day, too.
Yeah.
And, of course, responsible for putting all this together. You mentioned the Massachusetts roots. Mm-hmm. All the more special that, you know, part of this tournament coming up in February is going to be in Boston.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I know a lot of my buddies and family are all real excited about it. It's been a long time since you've been able to see that much talent on an ice together and playing, and just to have it in the hometown will be a pretty cool experience. So I think everyone's pretty fired up.
And before we get back to Gary's line of questioning here, I have to ask you about this because, you know, Jack has talked about being named to the team, and he spoke vividly about putting on a sweater that says USA on it. I mean, we like this sort of, you're playing for Team USA. Obviously, at some point, you're going to have to put on the jersey that says USA on it. Like, you go out. But, like, that's got to be, I mean, the history. Like, what do you think when you will put on that USA sweater for the first time?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I think, you know, for me, I played when I was younger on the national program. And I think when you're that age, you almost take it for granted. You don't realize how big of a deal it is to be able to represent your country. And I think now being at my age and just, you know, playing the league as long as I have, just to be able to come back and really represent your country on this big of a level, is definitely something really special and, you know, means a lot.
Yeah. Bill Guerin calls you and tells you, you hang up from him. What's the next call?
Yeah.
I call my dad. Yeah, he's always the first guy when it comes to the hockey stuff. So gave him a buzz, and he was – it was actually Thanksgiving Day. So he was already having – he had a pretty good buzz going with the family. So he was excited. Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Now, did you tell him he was allowed to tell – the family that were there?
He told the family.
You weren't going to be able to keep that under wraps.
They got to know everything. So.
Yeah, I think that's a great story and super well deserved. Your play from the moment you got to the Golden Knights, you've been excellent here. Where do you think the team is at right now, and where do you think you're at right now?
Well, I think the team's, you know, in a really good spot right now. I think we're finally starting to play, you know, full 60-minute games. We're timing it at the right, you know, we're building our game at the right time, and even going through that hard stretch in November without Stoney for most of it, you know, and to have the success we had was huge, and getting him back now, getting Petro back, getting everybody healthy, you know, it's going to be an important month here for us just to keep building our game, and you know, I think everybody feels good. Everybody's, you know, comfortable with their role, and we're happy about our game. Just got to keep building it, and for me it's the same thing. You know, I think you know, it's been a little bit of a weird year for me. There's been some good games, some not so good games, and I think for me it's just about coming back to the, you know, building my defensive game, being hard to play against defensively, getting that chemistry with Petro, which I think we're starting to get now, and I think it's good timing, you know, coming into December now, getting closer to Christmas. You know, I want my game to be peaking, you know, come playoff time in March. So just got to keep building my game defensively, and the offensive stuff will come.
Who does most of the talking between you and Petro? Is it 50-50? Is it a little more him, a little more you? Who's doing the talking out there?
Honestly, I would say we're actually really similar during games. I like to be very vocal during games. It just helps me stay engaged and get into the flow, and he's the same way. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, on the ice, he's very vocal. He's always communicating and talking, which makes my job a lot easier. But Petro's a very instinctual player. You know, so sometimes he can not be difficult to read off of, but just the way he plays the game, you know, he has so many natural abilities that I'm starting to figure him out now and understand where he's going to be at certain times. So I think that takes time to get chemistry with the player with his talent. So
you had Saturday night in the NHL is, you know, traditionally the busiest night of the week. The Golden Knights like to play at home on Saturday nights. You had Saturday night off in Vegas, and you didn't have a practice on Sunday. Now, I'm not suggesting you went out and went all hog wild, but I would imagine you did something. What'd you do?
Yeah, we had a bunch of the guys. I'd say there's 19 of us. We went to Chris Stapleton, George Strait concert at Allegiant. That was a lot of fun. That was my second concert, actually, at Allegiant, so it was super cool. It was good just to kind of step away from the rink a little bit with all the guys and enjoy each other's company and have a couple drinks, watch the concert. It was a lot of fun. You know, we've been grinding here for a while now, so just to have this little break is really needed, and, you know, had a great practice today. So it's a good time just to reset a little bit and keep going.
You got a hat? You got boots?
I didn't. Nabber had he brought that, though.
He did.
Authentic boots out, the hat.
No kidding.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, he was prepared right off the farm, so.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
No, it was good. Are you? I've seen George Strait. I haven't seen Chris Stapleton. Shane and Dave they flew to L.A. with their wives one weekend and caught them down there. But what, like, did you like Strait? Did you like Stapleton?
So I don't know. I didn't know too much of George Strait. I know he's a legend, but I didn't really know too much about him. But Chris Stapleton, I love Chris Stapleton. Mm-hmm. He's so talented. And that was the first time I ever saw him live. And it's crazy seeing him because it's like he's so good. He's not really a showman. He just goes up there and plays music, and it just sounds like you're listening to the radio. It's crazy how good he is. So that was pretty fun to see. And you know, he has so many just classic songs.
Yeah,
it was fun.
We were in Nashville. We had a day off, or we were there. Maybe we might have had 2 days. And,
wow.
I know I managed to one of the nights not to go till like really late. So I got up the next day and went to the, they had an exhibit at, one of the Hall of Fame's museums there. I think it was the Country Music Museum. And they had, it was really cool because they had one of the exhibits was all about the country impact on rock and roll, like the Eagles, Lynyrd Skynyrd, the Flying Burrito Brothers, all these bands that had country influences. And then they had Chris Stapleton, and they had a, which was a separate thing. And like, you know, he was a high school football player who, you know, went to Nashville and rolled the dice. And
crazy story.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, no, it's it was really nice seeing him live, and you know, he's a legend, so he's one of the best to ever do it. So it was cool. I think everybody had a good time.
Do you find it hard? Jump in anytime, Dan, because I got a million.
I want to remind our listeners, Noah Hanifin is our guest here. We're this is Fox Sports Las Vegas, nighttime at noon. Noah Hanifin live in studio with yours truly, Dan Duva, and, of course, the Golden Knights insider, Gary Lawless.
Do you ever find that, and no disrespect to any other town in the NHL, like even New York City, like this weekend in Vegas, George Strait, Chris Stapleton, UFC fight, I went to see Andrea Bocelli.
Yeah.
Like
the rodeo.
The rodeo. Yeah. Like it was I went to Piero's
On
before we went to Bocelli. Cowboy hats everywhere.
Everywhere.
I saw that the other night actually. We had dinner after the game at MGM and there was tons of cowboy hats, and it's amazing coming here and just seeing, you know, how much there is to do, and it's just such a great place to live. And then being in Summerlin, where it's like it's quiet, it's nice, it's like you kind of get out of it all. And then when you want to go do something and have a few nights or have a good dinner, like there's so much going on down the strip. We're super fortunate just to be able to play hockey here and live here. It's amazing.
You got 5 days in between games. You go from all these road games where I think it was like 13 out of 19 on the road, including the three upcoming here. Is that good? Is it not good? Like 5 days. Okay, you get your all-star break or whatever, and that sort of thing that happens yearly. But 5 days in the middle of a season without any reason. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
I would say normally I wouldn't like it, but I think right now I think it was perfect timing. I think the guys, like, you know, after that Dallas game, he played a really good game. And I think you could just tell after the game guys just needed to step away for a little bit. I think we were pretty gassed just from the busy schedule. And I think guys' bodies need a little bit of a reset. So I think it came at a great time, and you know, we're good. You know, all the guys in here are professional, and you know, they know how to take care of themselves and get ready to go and stay sharp mentally. So I thought we had a good day at practice today, and just gotta, you know, pick up where we left off in Winnipeg.
When the schedule is tight, or even when it's not tight, there's stuff to do, as we just talked about. But we've talked with a lot of guys about detaching. You know, you've just gotta, you know, turn your brain down a little bit, and how do you like to detach and just step away from things?
Yeah, I mean, I think just getting outside a little bit, you know, and just for me, it's just going for walks, you know, getting, I mean, we're fortunate now. The weather's been so nice just to get outside a little bit and hang out, relax, go out to dinner. I mean, there's so much to do here in Vegas that you can, you know, help get your mind off of hockey, which I think is a huge benefit for the players. So it's good for us mentally. It's a long season. It can be a grind. And, you know, obviously if you want to go all the way in the spring too, so that's like another season on top of it. So just, it's good to have these little breaks just to unwind and reset and come back and feel refueled and ready to go.
So music is one way to detach, go for a walk, walk the dog, whatever. Sometimes it's reading a book, watching a show. Some people have hobbies. Some people cook. Some people paint. Do you, anything like that? You got any? Or we welcome recommendations too.
Yeah, the cooking is a work in progress.
Okay.
Right now I'm trying to get a little bit better at it, but
what are you trying with?
Just the grill. You know, just barbecuing and stuff.
Can you smash burger? Have you got that perfected?
Yeah. No, I don't. I'm working on it. I'm just working on the basic things right now.
Get the reverse sear going. That's what you want.
Okay. Yeah. So just stuff like that. You know, I go out. I mean, usually I don't ever golf during the season, but some guys will go out and hit the range a little bit just to kind of do something else, something active, you know, just get their minds off of hockey, so stuff like that. But
I have a little inside story for you. Your buddy Ryan Leslie, you know, Ryan has kind of like a combination of Darren Millard and Ashley Weiss's job on the regional show in Calgary where you were before. Big barbershop guy.
Yeah,
and on Saturday night, Chad Kroeger, the lead singer of the big
Nickelback.
Canadian, Nickelback.
Yeah,
I was going to struggle for that. I was going to get really abused.
Oh no, especially in Canada.
He showed up at barbershop.
Oh yeah,
and he fully admitted he was He'd had a few.
Yeah.
He said, I've been up for 3 days. I've been in Vegas, and I haven't slept in 3 days.
That's a bender is what that is.
Anyways, he just jumped up on stage and was singing with them. And I sent the clip to Ryan, and he was like, oh, my God. He was quite excited.
Les probably loved that. Yeah, you know? He's a big fan of coming to Vegas, and, you know, he is a barbershop guy, but he just loves the town. I took him actually when they were here. I took him to Piero's, and yeah, he just loved it. Like he loved the whole vibe and the old school Italian. You know, he loves it. So I think they're coming back at the end of the month. So we'll see him again.
We've got to perfect his. He likes to text me at 10:05 and say, "Hey, think you can get me into barbershop tonight?"
Oh boy,
it's a little.
Come on,
give me.
Yeah, you have a lot of. You can pull a lot of strings.
Even 7 p.m. gives us a chance. But
speaking of time, we've run out of it with Noah.
Really?
Oh, well, we were just getting started. It feels like, but Noah, it's great to have you stop by. It's great to chat with you. Thanks, and we talk a little bit of hockey, but lots of other stuff too. So we appreciate it. Thanks a lot,
you guys. Yeah, appreciate it.
Congratulations again on the Team USA. That tournament coming up in February, as the Golden Knights will have a couple of weeks off from hockey as the Four Nations tournament will commence with the United States, Canada, Sweden, and Finland, and Noah Hanifin, one of 7 Golden Knights who will participate in that tournament. For now, the Golden Knights, 5 days in between games, defeating the Dallas Stars on Friday. They'll next play Thursday in Winnipeg, 5:00 start Pacific time. It's the Knights and the Jets. And, of course, Vegas just defeated the Winnipeg Jets 4-3 a few days ago. As the standings are right now, Winnipeg Jets 3rd in the NHL. They are technically tied in points for 1st, but by the tiebreakers, they would be 3rd, and the Knights 1 point back, 39, and the Knights are 4th in the National Hockey League. We'll talk standings when we come back. You are listening to Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Welcome back, Studio 31, Nighttime at Noon. It is 12:25 Pacific Time, and with the Golden Knights back in action, you'll want to watch your Golden Knights this season with Nighttime Plus. Download Nighttime Plus today on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or television to watch the Golden Knights live. Nighttime Plus delivers all locally televised games on Scripps Sports, as well as bonus content created throughout the season. Download and subscribe now to tune in all season long. Nighttime Plus. You would have gotten to see the Golden Knights take on the Dallas Stars and a victory on home ice on Friday. An impressive victory it was. A 3-2 final. The Knights had a 1-0 lead and a 3-1 lead and held on to win 3-2. As we welcome you back in our studios here in Summerlin, Dan Duva, Gary Lawless, Nighttime at Noon. Gary, it was great to chat with Noah Hanifin. And 5 days in between games, Vegas next playing in Winnipeg. They were on the ice. And we did notice that Zach Whitecloud was a participant. He had previously had the red no-contact jersey, but he was in a regular jersey today. Bruce Cassidy spoke to the media a short time ago, said that Zach is headed in the right direction to be available this weekend. Bruce went on to say wasn't sure which game he's on track for specifically, but that it was a positive sign to be in a normal jersey for today's practice. Of course, Zach Whitecloud has been out since a collision in the Montreal game.
Yeah, well, you know, they have a potential. You know, if he's ready for the game in Winnipeg on Thursday, they would potentially have their full lineup.
Which they have not had this year.
Yeah, well, William Karlsson wasn't ready for game one, right?
Karlsson did not take part in any preseason or regular season games. By the time he came back, Olofsson was out. That's and by right. the time Mark Stone came, you get the idea.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
At no point this year have the Knights had full health.
Yeah, so to be where they are, you know, they went winners of 7 of their last 10, 7-2-1 of their last 10, and put a nice little streak together with, you know, they beat Edmonton. Then they beat Anaheim, then they beat Dallas, and I think they've allowed 3 goals over that stretch.
Over the last 3 games, exactly. Yeah. 3 goals allowed, 1 goal, 0 goals, 2 goals. That's going to bode well. They going into last game, and we'll double-check through the games over the weekend, but they had improved to 11th in team goals against average. They dropped a little bit in the goals per game to 7th, but still I think that the head coach would like the idea of the goals against average going down. They're getting enough offense. It's getting that goals against down, and team defense has been a big topic in the last week.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, and it was funny. They were losing to Utah, and they eventually lost that game 6-0. And I, you know, said to you, you know, maybe there's something to be said about this being such an embarrassing and dramatic defeat, because losses like that will get your attention. If they had a loss that game 1-0, you know, they might have just sort of, it might have been cause for them to say, oh, it's just a speed bump. You know, we just, you know, that's going to happen. They lost 6-0. They all went and looked in the mirror and talked about it and showed up for practice that the 2 days later. Bruce gave them the next day off, and they came to practice on Monday, and they had a great practice, and, you know, they were really good against Anaheim. Against Edmonton, shut Edmonton out.
Yep.
And then solid again against Anaheim, only giving up two goals in that game.
One to Anaheim and then two to Dallas.
Two to Dallas, and one of them was a 6-on-5 goal against Dallas late.
So here are the numbers. So after that 6-0 loss against Utah, the Knights' team goals against average was 3.12, which ranked 18th in the NHL. 3.12. As of today, it is now 2.89, which is 8th in the National Hockey League. So they've gone from 18th to 8th in the span of just 3 games, and that's what happens when you give up a total of 3 goals in 3 games. Yeah. So there you have it. And again, their offense has been hovering right around there, 6th, 7th. As of today, they're 6th at 3.50 per game.
Now, they've got a real tough trip here coming up. Winnipeg on Thursday, Edmonton on Saturday, and Minnesota on Sunday. And the Minnesota game on Sunday is an afternoon game.
So is the Edmonton game.
Yeah, well, that actually bears in their favor, because be over early, get on the plane, travel to Minnesota, and get to bed. But then they got to be ready to go in the middle of the afternoon.
The timing for the games upcoming, Pacific time, Thursday, 5 o'clock in Winnipeg.
Yep.
Saturday, 1 o'clock in Edmonton. Again, that's 1 o'clock Pacific time.
Yep.
And then Sunday in Minnesota, 3 o'clock Pacific time. And you got a watch party going on down at MGM for that one as well. So 5 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock Pacific time, the next 3 games.
Yeah, so and they'll play their games in a different time zone each
day.
Yeah,
right.
Like, they'll go Central, Mountain, back to Central. So that's not too bad. But the fact that they're able to have 2 days off, Saturday, Sunday, Bruce gave them both days off, and then are able to have 2 really good practices, Monday and then another one on Tuesday, and then just wake up on Wednesday, fly to Winnipeg, have dinner, get up, morning skate, get their legs moving. That's a game that they should try and win. They should try and win them all, but that one they are set up. You know, Winnipeg played last night, lost to Columbus. They've got Boston on Tuesday. Winnipeg's been busy, and they're on a slide. They've lost 4 of their last 10.
Right,
lost 6 of their last 10.
And it was 4-1, the loss against the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, I watched the game. Columbus outworked them.
Yeah. And so with that, the Golden Knights, Gary, we'll get to the overall standings here in just a moment. But the Winnipeg Jets, remember, had that incredible start. But as you just pointed out, their record over going back to November 27th is 2 wins in 7 games. Mm-hmm. So in that span, they've scored 14 and allowed 23. So there's a little bit of concern there in Winnipeg. And they have the homestand, as you mentioned. It started with Columbus, Boston, Vegas, and then Montreal before they go on the road. So it's teams that the Knights have played recently in Winnipeg and Edmonton, beat both of them. And then it's the Minnesota Wild, who, I have to admit, I did not see Minnesota at the top of the conference standings, let alone the top of the NHL standings for a bit. Technically, at the moment, they are in second place by tiebreaker, but Wild, the Jets, and the Capitals all have 40 points going into action today, and there's only 3 games on today's schedule. Holy cow, the Minnesota Wild and the Golden Knights will meet for the first time this year coming up on Sunday.
I have 2 topics I want to dig into before the end of the show, so you can decide on timing.
Okay.
I want to talk standings and have a look in particular at the West, and then I want to talk about John Tortorella and his comments about embellishment, because you know this is something that I talk about with you quite a bit during the radio broadcast.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Yeah, we'll touch on those things and perhaps a big contract for the goalie in New York and what is going on with the Rangers.
Well.
So plenty to discuss there. So we'll get to all that coming up. I do want to go in on these standings. I mentioned Minnesota. Holy Toledo. And they've got the injury bug as well, but they did lose their last game. But that'll be an interesting matchup when the Knights take on the Wild coming up on Sunday. So important opponents. One divisional game at Edmonton and two central division opponents, Winnipeg and Minnesota, for this three-game trip.
Are we going to do standings now or are we going to break?
We're going to break.
Good, break.
We're going to break.
Come back. I'm going to tell you who's going to make the playoffs in the West.
Okay. Well, geez, you got to stick around for that, don't you? Before we get to that break, let us tell you about VGK Authentics. If you ever wanted to own a piece of the Golden Knights, well, VGK Authentics is the official channel for game-used items coming off the ice, from game-used pucks to game-worn jerseys and everything in between. Owning something from your favorite Golden Knights player has never been so easy. Shop VGK Authentics on VegasTeamStore.com, VegasTeamStore.com, over at the Arsenal at City National Arena, and at the VGK Authentics kiosk behind Section 10 at T-Mobile Arena during home games. Again, you can find it online, VegasTeamStore.com, for VGK Authentics. We'll be right back. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Welcome back, 12:37 Pacific Time, here on Fox Sports Las Vegas. It's Nighttime at Noon. I'm Dan Duva with Gary Lawless. Well, don't you wish you could keep up with the Golden Knights right at the touch of your screen? Well, now you can with the official mobile app of the Vegas Golden Knights. You can scan, buy, and transfer tickets, play new exclusive games, access live stats, receive game updates, and so much more. The official mobile app of the Vegas Golden Knights is available now on your smartphone through the App Store and Google Play. Check it out, the official VGK app. All right, Gary Lawless says he's got playoff prognostications. Gary, what say you on an interesting first third of the NHL season? A couple surprises, a couple teams that are more or less on track, but boy, oh boy, it is never dull in the National Hockey League.
Well, the West, hold on.
Okay.
There's been a big trade in the National Hockey League since we got on the air.
Oh.
Georgiev traded to Sharks by Avalanche for Mackenzie Blackwood. So.
Wow, yeah, this just came out 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, Colorado also acquires Giovanni Smith, a 2027 draft pick. San Jose gets Kovalenko and two picks. So this is interesting because Scott Wedgwood is not the answer in Colorado to be their number one goalie. That there must be another deal coming, or are they going to work on something? Because he's not a, unless they see something in Scott Wedgwood that no one else has seen, that he's about to become a number one on a team that potentially could be a Stanley Cup champion.
Well, the Colorado Avalanche defeated the Devils yesterday, but it has been an ongoing problem for Colorado this year, the number of goals that they have allowed, and that is an interesting approach for the Avalanche. Again, this is the press release from the Sharks. Mike Greer announced that the San Jose Sharks have acquired goaltender Alexander Georgiev, Nikolai Kovalenko, Colorado's 2026 second-round pick, and a conditional fifth-round draft pick in 2025 in exchange for Mackenzie Blackwood, forward Giovanni Smith, and the Sharks' own 2027 fifth-round pick. As part of the deal, Colorado retains 14% of Georgiev's contract. That's straight from the San Jose Sharks. This coming out just within the last 20 minutes. Again, the big piece of this is that goaltender for the Avalanche, Alexander Georgiev, is no longer a member of the Avalanche. He's now a member of the San Jose Sharks. So that is quite interesting.
I got the names mixed up because Wedgwood was acquired or part of a deal for Anonen to go to Nashville recently. So, anyways, so it's Mackenzie Blackwood. But again, does he strike you as a number one, Dan?
Not for a team that is going to be contending for a long playoff run, but at the same time, what might we have said to the San Jose Sharks about Aiden Hill when the Golden Knights acquired him?
Yep.
That was fair not enough. Exactly what a lot of hockey experts might have thought back at that point in time. The Knights got Aiden Hill for a fourth-round draft pick, and he and not too long after led them to a Stanley Cup championship and is now one of the best goaltenders among Canadians, chosen by his country to represent Canada at the Four Nations Tournament. So maybe there is something to be seen there. Mackenzie Blackwood, now a member of the Colorado Avalanche. So that is an interesting approach. The Knights have seen Colorado once, and we'll have a couple more matchups with them this season.
All right. I've sent out a few texts to see if we can't get a little insight on that, but more than what we have. Let's go back to the standings.
So, I just wanted to finish last thought. The Avalanche have the fourth worst goals against average in the NHL this year.
Yeah. Maybe Mackenzie Blackwood is an upgrade, but it just doesn't – listen, to go back to Aiden Hill, you make an excellent point. Aiden Hill was someone that the Golden Knights, their pro scouting staff, and their goaltending department looked at him and said, we think that playing in our system, he could succeed. He could have better numbers here. But you think about it, Aiden Hill played for a dumpster fire in Arizona and a dumpster fire in San Jose, and still, you know, managed to have a pretty good save percentage in both those places. They brought him to Vegas, and after he adjusted and got comfortable, eventually he went on a run of, you know, tremendous play in the regular season and playoffs and won a Stanley Cup. So, and I can remember Pierre LeBrun saying to me during the Edmonton series, you know, are they going to go to Quick? Are they going to go to, like, what are they going to do? I'm like, well, they're going to play Aiden Hill. And he was like, Aiden Hill, you're not winning the Stanley Cup with Aiden Hill.
They did.
Yeah.
This was when Brossoit had been injured
early
in that series, and Quick was an option. Of course, had won a couple of Stanley Cups, had won games for the Golden Knights. They kept Quick as a backup for a long stretch of that run, but Aiden Hill was the guy who picked up the torch from Lauren Brossoit early in the second round. By the way, Mackenzie Blackwood was a second-round pick of the Devils in 2015, started in the American League. I remember him there in Albany, and then, of course, had been with the New Jersey Devils, but his career-high wins was back in the 1920 season when he had 22 victories. He has not won more than 10 games in the last 3 years. So that is Mackenzie Blackwood, presumably the new number one goalie for the Avalanche. So maybe there's another shoe to drop. Gary,
I've got some answers.
Okay, you do.
So,
go for it. This is breaking news.
Yeah,
throw out
the
script.
Yeah. Well, someone from Colorado says that's two goalie deals now, and don't forget Nabokov and the KHL eligible to come over in spring.
It could be too late by that point.
And then I've got three folks who say, no, Mackenzie Blackwood is going to be the number one there. And one person said they hope he's the guy, and they've got a couple of months to see before the deadline. So you're right, Dan. Do they see something in Mackenzie Blackwood similar to what the Golden Knights saw in Aiden Hill? So that's some instant reaction from nighttime at noon on this trade that sees the principals are Georgiev going to San Jose and Mackenzie Blackwood going from San Jose to Colorado.
And so the tandem now for the Avalanche is, I'm going to screw this up, Scott Wedgwood and Mackenzie Blackwood.
Yes, I screwed it up already too.
But both of them were both together in the Devils organization about 3 years ago. So you've got Scott Wedgwood and Mackenzie Blackwood. So Scott Wedgwood, I mentioned this a moment ago, he had a shutout yesterday against the New Jersey Devils. 4-0 for Colorado the other night. Was that yesterday? Yeah, I guess that was yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Yes, my brain is, you know, this is what happens when there's 5 days in between games. You get all this craziness. So there you go. Breaking news again. The Avalanche have traded Alexander Georgiev, their number one goalie, to the San Jose Sharks. And in return, Mackenzie Blackwood coming from the Sharks to the Avalanche. There are other pieces involved, but that's clearly the big part of it. We are going to take a break. We are rapidly running out of time, and we have a couple of things that Gary still wants to get to. So we will do that, but first we will step aside. You never know when you tune in to Nighttime at Noon, you might get breaking news, plus instant analysis from the Golden Knights insider himself, Gary Lawless. I'm Dan Duva with Gary. We'll be back in a moment. This is Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Welcome back. Just about 12:49 Pacific time. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless here, Nighttime at Noon. Part of the Foley Entertainment Group, the undefeated Auckland FC is taking on some of the best football teams in Australia. Show your support as the team takes on Melbourne City FC this Saturday at 10 o'clock. Make sure to watch and keep updated with Auckland FC all season long, following at @FC_Auckland on all socials. And as they say in Auckland, up the port. Golden Knights getting ready for their contest against the Winnipeg Jets on Thursday, 5 days in between games. As we welcome you back in our City National Arena Summerlin studios, it is Studio 31. Gary, the news again, the trade between the Sharks and the Avalanche, Colorado, right now on the periphery of the playoff picture, but they did get the shutout win yesterday. And I guess if we're going to get to the standings, now would be the time, especially given that Colorado is trying to shake things up.
Well, Colorado is a playoff team. They're going to make the playoffs. And I'll tell you who's going to make the playoffs. Everyone who's in a playoff spot right now in the West. So Vegas, L.A., Vancouver.
Vegas, L.A., Vancouver are the three Pacific Division teams.
Minnesota, Winnipeg, and Dallas in the Central.
That leaves the wild card teams too.
Edmonton and Colorado.
So one from each division.
And this order may change between now and then. And if the playoffs started tomorrow, Vegas would play Colorado in the opening round, and Minnesota would draw Edmonton. So L.A. and Vancouver would fight it out. Winnipeg and Dallas would fight it out. That would be one heck of a series. And, yeah, that and it might not change that much from what it is. We'll see.
But right now, Calgary is at 31 points, which is 1 point back of Colorado and Edmonton and Vancouver. There are three teams at 32 points, and Calgary just one back. So who knows if the Flames can make a push or, heaven forbid, a team falls off. I mentioned that with respect to Minnesota, currently number one in the Western Conference, and you know, just getting ready for that game, you know, that they have a number of injured players. Recent injuries have perhaps rattled their lineup as well.
And I will tell you that I think that the East Coast is exactly the same. I think that the teams that are in the playoffs right now will be the teams that make the playoffs at the end of the season. You've got Florida, Toronto, and Boston in the Atlantic. I think Boston will drop into a wild card spot. But then Washington, New Jersey, and Carolina. And then the wild cards right now are Tampa and the New York Rangers. It wouldn't surprise me if Tampa and Boston flip spots. You know, I don't see the Rangers. Now, the Rangers, could they implode? Possibly. You know, I think that Chris Drury has taken a big risk in the way he traded Jacob Trouba and how he handled that situation. So that'll be one to keep an eye on.
Right. So Jacob Trouba makes his Anaheim Ducks debut tonight. Yeah. And then right after Trouba was traded, the captain of the Rangers, in a playoff spot. It's not like they're in last place or anything. In a playoff spot, they trade their captain to the Ducks. They've been talking about it for a while, but then, like within minutes, it seemed, they announced the contract for their goaltender, Igor Shesterkin.
Yes. So
about the biggest goalie contract ever.
Yeah, and, you know, Shesterkin's money doesn't go on the books till next year. Mm-hmm. So they've got a bunch of money still laying around as a result of, like, they have cap space as a result of the Trouba trade that they can use this year. So we'll see what Chris Drury does as we move forward here. But, you know, I don't think the Rangers are a Stanley Cup contender, but I do think they're a playoff team. I didn't think they were a Stanley Cup contender when they had Trouba. And I think that all they did was weaken their team. And you know, now,
and of course, last year they won the President's Trophy with 114 points, but didn't get quite as far as they hoped they would.
No. And, you know, I think you can win a lot of games in the regular season on goaltending. It becomes harder to win a series on goaltending when you make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So that's my view on that team.
Are the Minnesota Wild for real? And I mentioned a moment ago, they've got a number of injuries now. Joel Eriksson-Ek, Jonas Brodin, Jacob Lauko, who had come over from the Bruins, and then their veteran Matt Zuccarello, who's on long-term IR. They have a terrific start to the season, obviously. I wasn't expecting Minnesota to be this good. What do you see in the Wild, who the Knights will see for the first time in person coming up on Sunday?
Again, I think the Wild are a very good team. I wonder about how they would fare in a playoff series with a team like Vegas that is going to make it hard on you to score from the perimeter, make you battle to get inside. But I think the Wild are a playoff team, and I have a feeling that they won't be a wild card team, that they'll be one of the three teams to make it from the Central Division. It's cliche, but it bears repeating because it's a cliche built upon on history. And as you say, that's history. It's not prophecy, but there are different layers to the NHL regular season and to the NHL season. You know, you come out of the preseason and, you know, the hockey is, it takes a while for the goalies and the defensive structure to catch up to the shooters. Or sometimes it's the other way around, and the shooters have an advantage because, you know, that's what I'm saying. The shooters that's what they've been doing. They've been spending the summer not playing defensive hockey and not focusing on defending, only focusing on their skill development. So you have that kind of early feeling out process, and then this time until Christmas, things come up a little bit notch, and then after Christmas, you know, there's another step, and then after the deadline, you know, teams really start to try and get their game into playoff shape, and then of course playoffs come, and if you've built your game properly, you really rely on it and try and win four rounds. So I'd like to see Minnesota, I'd like to see a little more from them as we move forward before we determine if they're for real or not.
Well, the Knights have done well against other teams from the Central, including the Winnipeg Jets recently, the Dallas Stars, of course, defeating them 3-2 on a Friday evening. Again, the upcoming trip for the Knights, Thursday in Winnipeg, Saturday in Edmonton, Sunday in Minnesota. Also a note that Aiden Hill, who is 4-0-1 in his last five, named the NHL's third Star of the Week. Congratulations to Aiden as the Knights get ready for the trip. We can also tell you that Zach Whitecloud was a full participant at practice today. Bruce Cassidy is targeting this weekend, he said. Wasn't sure exactly when, but Zach Whitecloud on the horizon. That'll wrap it up for us. Big thanks to Ruben, Ron Paul, Amber, India, our entire support staff. Of course, Golden Knights insider Gary Lawless, and our guest Noah Hanifin. Dan Duva saying so long from our studios in Summerlin. And have a great day.